3 kilómetros. Oh, my gracious, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. We praise you, Father, for your humor and our humor too, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Lord, we just ask for your leading tonight. We thank you, Father, for your leading. We thank you, Father, that tonight's going to be a wonderful time. And we thank you for wisdom and discernment for everybody. And we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that everybody has peace in their heart about these things that are coming upon us. And I praise you and I glorify you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your open heaven to where when we pray, we know without a doubt that our prayers are answered. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that all who come on here and want prayer or want us to pray about something, Lord, that almost immediately that the prayers will be answered. And I thank you for that, Father, that the signs and wonders would be going forth from this fellowship in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise God forevermore. All right. Has anybody got any, did I hit the record button? Okay, good. Thank you. Whew, I was sweating there for a minute. All right, anybody got a prayer request? Anybody got a prayer request? Lord, I just thank you that you're going to get everybody that you're elect out of harm's way at all times. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that it is done. The people that we have prayed for, I praise you, Father, for removing them out of harm's way at any means necessary. And we praise you for that, Father. Thank you for it. And we praise you, Lord. We thank you for those that aren't saved, that this would be a wake-up call, and that you would grant repentance to them, and they hitting their knees and coming to you, Father. And I praise you for that too, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody that's supposed to be here, that you're going to get them here when the time is right, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Amen. And those who want to be here, start having faith to believe it. God's going to have you here because this is going to be an interesting place. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request, Missy? No? Okay. I thought you had your hand
What
up.
you just prayed was what I was thinking.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
I'm sorry, I was going to raise my other hand there, but I chose that one. Father, I ask you, and I thank you, Lord, for putting in families' hearts, Lord, your will, that even right now, Lord, you've been speaking to them, you're bringing correction to them, you're talking to them, you're opening up their eyes to things of the times we're currently in, that they are going to be repentant, Lord, and that you're already giving them this grace, this gift to really get their hearts right now in these days, Lord. And then when these things start changing and when announcements are made and they have this revelation of where we are in times, that they're going to be turning to you. They're going to be praying and confessing sin and wanting to be free and looking for answers and seeking your face, Lord, because we prayed such for them, Lord, and we're believing them all, Lord, to come into the kingdom. And we thank you, Lord, for your sovereignty and that you can move in people's hearts. I thank you, Lord, for giving them dreams and warning dreams even right now about these things that are kind of about to happen, because I know you're giving people dreams. I've seen them every time I look at any of those YouTube videos about the devastation, the judgments coming with the you know, earthquakes and tsunamis and water and all that stuff. And I look through the comments and I see other people saying, God gave me a dream. God gave me a dream. God gave me a dream. Yeah, I've seen that. Yes, God gave me a dream too. And he told me to move. And so, Lord, you're doing it for others. Lord, we're believing you to do it for our family members and our loved ones.
Amen.
So that they will be discerning and they will be seeking you. And you're already working. I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Yeah. And Lord, I thank you for giving people confirmations, confirmation dreams, visions, whatever what it takes to that they would get the confirmations of what you're doing or fixing to do in this world. And I thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. I had a week talk with a lady today that's had a real good long talk with her that she's in a place that not a good place. It's not a very good place at all. And she's going to read and study the thing from Sunday and ask the Lord about it, about her moving. And so we just believe that God's going to show her and get her out of the harm's way. Praise God. She's a member of the outreach. Not very, it's been a long time since she's been home, but she still listens. Yeah, Julie.
I just want to also just bind up all of the lies and deceit of the enemy, that people would be in any kind of unbelief and denial when this news comes out, that they're just ignoring it and thinking it's not going to happen, or the mocking and that kind of thing. So, Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that those demons are bound and the people are really going to heed the warnings given when they come, Lord, and they're not just going to blow it off and think it's nothing, that this is just some old talk. And thank you, Lord, some people just need to hear it and they need some kind of proof to believe, and you know who they are too. And I thank you, Lord, for giving them what they need so they can repent. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Is that better? How's my modulation now? Is it okay? Testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I could sing, but I don't think you'd like that. Down through the years, ow! The Lord been good to me. Hallelujah. All right. We better get on to YouTube and let that happen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request before we do our praise and worship tonight? Yeah. All right, Julie, go ahead.
I don't have a prayer request, but I do have a testimony. It's a short one. We all prayed with me and agreed with me in prayer last week that the email stuff handling with my one email account that I don't necessarily use, but that like marketing have been, they sold my information amongst many other millions of people. Anyhow, we prayed that I wouldn't get any more. We command the angels to clean that up. I've hardly received any, and they're all gone too, in the name of Jesus. So that whatever trickling in effect that, you know, those last ones that had it, no more spam, no more solicitations, no more of this junk coming into my email. I thank you, Lord, for doing that because you're sovereign and you are faithful to answer that. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I saw the neatest scam person that could make people think, make people not want to call them again. And this lady, she acted just like a professional. She answered the phone and she said, federal, oh gosh, let me think here. Federal scam office. Give me your name and your number. Boom. down they went. They didn't answer. Something like that. Yeah. She was real. I mean, she sounded like she was the one, you know. But it was neat. Go ahead, Missy.
I wanted to give a praise report, too. Remember when you prayed against witchcraft, you know, against all of us, and I said, you know, that the enemy was putting pain in my body somewhere, and that I felt like it was witchcraft. So the very next day then, I felt like so much better, and then it's just it completely, pretty much, I think, I don't remember exactly, but it went quickly. So praise the Lord. It's sometimes in an area where I'm tried, you know, and I was like, nope, I don't receive that, you know, and it was really hitting me hard. But the enemy has nothing up on us.
Amen.
He's defeated. Praise you, Jesus.
Yeah, I've got it. But now that you helped me remember, I got a testimony too. The other day, I opened the back door and put my hand around the door, you know, like you do sometimes to open it up. And there was a piece of metal about that long, real, like a needle, that was spirally. And I just grabbed that thing and went deep as it could go in my hand. And oh my, the pain. Oh, y'all just don't know the pain. The pain was so bad. Anyway, I just rebuked it. I rebuked the pain. Yeah, I wanted somebody to start petting on me, give me some chicken noodle soup, put me on the couch. You know how men are. But I just started rebuking that bad boy. And I said, nope, I rebuke that pain in the name of Jesus. You go from it. And almost, well, within a couple of hours, it was gone. It was gone, and it's almost healed over already. Amen. I bled like a stuck hog there for a while, but it finally quit. All right, go ahead, Julie.
I have another little testimony. When you said that about your hand, I remember it's like I burned my hand yesterday just right there. There's just a little, I don't know, little mark there, but that mark's not there either. But I burned it on the oven grill, taking it out, slayed something out. And I immediately just said, oh, thank you, Lord, for taking the pain. There's no heat. There's no pain. There's no scarring. There's no, it's not going to hurt anymore. And I thank you, Lord, for taking it. And then just went about my day, and gradually the pain left. Like within 30 minutes, it was all gone. And you know, when you have to put your hands in hot water after you've burned your hand and it, you know, you feel it. I didn't feel it. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, for taking the pain. No heat, no pain. And there's not going to be any mark there. That's gone too. That's just nothing there. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. That's awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else got a testimony or a story? Do I have a story to tell? All right. All right. Y'all ready for a song? Oh, wait, but here come off Joe. Go ahead, old Josephus.
Morning, everybody. I don't want to put Missy on the spot yet, but the problem that she can have my prayer request, my song request, if you don't mind. Sing us something for my part of the music.
Oh, we're just, I think we're not doing like praise and worship all night, but, you know, he requested that Missy sing something.
Yeah.
Okay. He wants to hear Missy sing.
All right, Missy, sing
it's
something.
Possible.
That's all you do. You just say something.
Not that, Michael.
Oh, okay. Missy.
Well, if nobody, I'm a nobody. If she can remember the words. So.
Yeah,
not
I
that,
remember
Joe.
That one. Not that. That one's an easy. That's your favorite, isn't it, Joe?
Amen, amen, yeah.
Right, go ahead,
really
Missy,
likes
sing
that. It blessed me. Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life I've been told I belong. at the end of the line, with all the other not quite, with all the never get it right. But it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is, everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say, I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. So let me go down, down, down in history as another blood-bought, faithful member of the family. And if they all forget my name, well, that's fine with me. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. Woohoo! Praise you, Jesus. We're all a bunch of nobodies. Glory to God. You get all the
Thank
glory,
you.
Lord. You're the nobody. You're the
you,
somebody
Mercy.
And the nobodies. Praise you, Lord.
Bless you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Now I got to figure out how to get you off the spotlight. Yeah, that was good. Missy, thank you. Yeah, there it is. Okay, got you out. All right. Anyone else? You want to hear one a little bit inferior to that one? Okay. We're gonna see if we can help you out here.
I hold the Bible and all your promises. If the works disappear, taken by your mighty flame, the enemy threatened and fear, when I invoke your name, you saw the mouth of lions, set Paul and Silas free, as David did.
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I know. I was trying to get all of that back off there. That's a good war song, isn't it? That's a good brand war song. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to say or something they'd like to share? Yeah, Missy.
I'd like to read something for all of us. 2 Samuel 22, verse 2, 3, and 4.
You're going to have to say it again all at once, Missy.
2 Samuel 22, verse 2, 3, and 4. Actually, we know where this is, Psalm 18 also.
Verse 18, you say?
It's also Psalm 18. Samuel 22 Psalm 18. Anyway. And I'm going to read it as in a corporate. Anyway, the Lord is our rock and our fortress, our deliverer, even ours. God, our rock, in him will we take refuge, our shield and the horn of our salvation, our high tower and our refuge, our Savior. Thou savest us from violence. We will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall we be saved from our enemies.
Praise you, Lord. You're our refuge and fortress, our God in whom we trust, Lord. You're our refuge and fortress, very present help in trouble. And your name, Lord, is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it. We just praise you and we thank you, Lord. You are our safe place. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? I got a little something to share if y'all want to hear it. Okay. Lord? Yes, sir.
Michael, could you come closer to your mic, please?
I tell you, I was going to ask you if the volume is low. Is it low right now? Okay, hang on. All right, is that any better? All right. Come on, Michael, you can sing it now, Brodus. All right, let's see here.
Go for it, Michael.
What, Joe?
Go what for it. Say? You can sing us
go
the song.
For it.
Go for it.
All right. Okay, what I wanted to talk about tonight is I've been reading the real good. The Lord has had me in the real good news here recently. And I'll tell you, if you don't read this thing every now and then, you forget some of the, nuggets that are in that book. That book is full of nuggets. And when I started, and I've got on chapter 7 and I've stayed on that for a week now. Just on chapters, I read it the first day, of course, but there's so much in that chapter 7. And then I went through 8, and that's the one on forgiveness. Chapter 7 is the one on endurance. Chapter 8 is on forgiveness. And chapter 9 is on imagination. Another one full of stuff. So what I wanted to do, if y'all don't mind, is read a little bit of it, and then we can talk about it. Does that sound okay to y'all? All right. Renewed imaginations. Now, that's the one I want to go on. We can go on this other one another time, but I want to get on this one. It says in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, and they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. We're going to build us a tower to heaven. We're going to build us a name. And he was talking about our own nature, our character, and authority, not the name of Jesus. When man's left to his own devices, he falls into corruption. And the most powerful thing that God has given him, which is his imagination, that can be used by his faith, is corrupted. And in fact, I don't think God disagreed with that, because here's what he said in Genesis 11 and 6. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is what they begin to do. And now nothing, listen, and now nothing will be withholding from them which they purpose to do. Come. Let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. Listen to what he said. The Lord said, behold, they are one people in one accord. They all have one language. They're speaking the same thing. And this is what they begin to do. And he said this, now nothing will be withholding from them which they purpose to do. Do you see where I'm getting to right here? So if we as a one person here come into agreement on anything, there's nothing that can stop it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what God said. Are y'all reading the same thing I am? You don't believe it. Genesis. Let me get back to it here right quick. Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. Genesis 11 and 6. This is the Lord speaking. Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. We all speak the same language here, most generally. And this is what they begin to do, and now nothing. That's what he said, and now nothing, because they've all come into one accord, one ability, one language. Nothing will be withholding from them which they purpose to do. Come. Let us go down there and confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So what I'm saying is this. When we come together as a fellowship, here's what the Lord's telling us. If we come, and he tells us this over in the New Testament too. When we come into one accord, and you believe that you have received, you shall have it. And if we all believe, when we pray the prayer of faith, that's how powerful. What do you say? One sins 1,000, two sins 10,000. I don't know how many thousands we can sin now, but it's a whole lot of them. So what I'm saying is this, when you speak and pray and command as one voice, your power is exponentially increased. Exponentially increased. And that's what the Lord is showing us. So we have, that's why he tells us, you know, one sins 1,000, two sins 10,000. That's for husband and wife, I believe. I think David teaches that in some of his teaching. But when you got a whole group here, I remember what John Ramirez said, that he came across a church one time. It was a praying church, and they were all believing. He said, you couldn't touch that church. You could not, as a demon or a devil, you couldn't touch that church. That church was God guarded. That's the same power that we have on this fellowship. As a praying people, as a believing people. Anybody here not have any faith? Raise your hand. No, don't do that. But if you need faith, ask God. Start reading the Bible. Start reading the word. That's what he said. So has anybody got any comments on what I'm talking about? You see what I'm saying here? Yeah, Pat. You're not unmuted. There you go.
I had to find my way. I was finding my way through. When you started talking about that, this is what I started thinking about. And it's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. No, I take that back. I'm going to start in verse 1. This is Paul can everybody hear me, by the way? This is Paul, thank you. When you are talking about that being unified in speech, and that verse, the whole earth was of one language. I'm back in Genesis again. I'm sorry. What was that verse that you were on there, Michael, the one you were talking about? Because my brain went directly to this other verse.
Genesis 11 and 6.
Thank you. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do, and now nothing will be withholding from them, which they purpose to do. Come, let us go down and therefore confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. That they may not understand. And I think that word understand is the key element there, because obviously, when we speak words, in fact, what we're trying to do is to convey a picture. We're trying to convey a thought in such a way to describe with words the picture that is in our mind so that the hearer can take those words and recreate that same image or that same picture within their mind. The only thing that, excuse me, that we have to do that with is words. Obviously, we have pictures and artists and songs, but, and that sort, but it is with words that we try to transfer that understanding or that image in our mind in order to convey that understanding to the hearer. And obviously, God has, and that's why, and this verse shows the very power that words and understanding have, even in the carnal, unsaved, unsanctified mind of man, that there is this element of power. And I keep thinking about the blessing of the new covenant in that God not only gave us his word from the old covenant and of the new covenant writings, New Testament writings, but most of all, he gave us his spirit in order to understand from his perspective. And I go back over to, again, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Excuse me. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown, yet a wisdom not of this world. In other words, we have, Paul was demonstrating a wisdom, but not a wisdom that this world gives. Not that he was discounting that wisdom, or discounting the principles and the laws of the way this world functions. He wasn't discounting it. He was simply speaking of a greater wisdom, yet a wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of this world, who are coming to nothing, to naught. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory. God has brought forth and is bringing forth a wisdom which is not of this world, but of the higher jurisdiction in Christ. I go back and throw that in. For which none of the rulers of this world hath known. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which I saw not, I ball, not I person, but I saw not, and ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, these things have not entered into the heart of man up until this time. Whatsoever things God prepared for them that love him, but unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For who among, and then this is the aspect of our new covenant promise of the Spirit, for who among men knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God none knoweth, save the Spirit of God. But we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God, that were freely given to us. Which things also we speak not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Spirit teaches, combining spiritual things with spiritual words. Now the natural man, that man of the world, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And he cannot know them because they are spiritually judged or spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges, discerns all things, and he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I just think about that God, our Father, placing, not only has he given us the old covenant writings and the new covenant writings, but he has placed his spirit, his perspective within us, that we may know, that we may know his perspective upon all of these things, all of these applications, even these things that are coming upon us. We may perceive it from his perspective, and we understand how to then rest in that secret place of the Most High, because it is from his heart, his spirit, his mind, that we perceive these things which are hidden, which are hidden. So I just felt that chapter, speaking forth of his wisdom, that's his understanding living within us through the power of his spirit. So I just think it goes with that section in Genesis you brought up, Michael. Thank you.
Yeah, can I ask a question? It might be a silly question, but I'm kind of confused. How would that have any relationship to what I just got through reading there in Genesis? Maybe you can explain that a little bit better. Because I was talking about people coming together in one accord, speaking the word of God in prayer, And I didn't see any correlation there. Maybe you could help me out.
I think the one accord, mm-hmm. which I am thinking about, is the one accord in God's perspective, in His word, in agreement in His word.
Yeah.
Genesis is talking about the power of the unregenerate mind of man.
And there was a reason that I mentioned that, to show you that even regenerate man, using that same principle, works the same, basically the same way. And the only thing that I said different than what that says is in one accord. And, you know, I didn't say in Christ, but that's what I meant. But if you remember a book that came out many, many years ago, it was by Norman Vincent Peale. And he talked about that, you know, the power of positive thinking.
Power of positive thinking.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And that's basically what I was talking about. It's when Christians come together, as we always do, and we pray in one accord, that's the power that God sees. And He saw it in the Gentiles and see how powerful they were. He said they could do anything by speaking the word and believing the word that they speak, That's the unregenerate man you were talking about. But the regenerate man, and this is the correlation that I was making, can do the same thing with a whole lot more power because of what he said. One person can send 1,000, two can send 10,000. How many can? 5, 10, 15, 17, you know, 17 people coming in one accord. The power that you see, and I was just trying to encourage people to understand that when two people, three people, four people, or 17 people come together, you have the power, the signs and wonders coming up behind you. You got all of God coming up behind you when you pray and you speak the word. When we speak the word here, when we pray, and if everybody gets in here and they just imagine in their mind, like I'm praying for, let's say I'm praying that Ben's going to be a mighty, mighty teacher of God's word. And I can see him in my imagination. Everybody else, can we speak it? You know, look, just imagine Ben is sitting up on a pedestal talking, or up on a rock, or everywhere it is, and people from all over are listening to him. And you can imagine it in your mind, and people were getting saved, healed, and delivered. Guess what's going to happen? He's going to walk in it. That's what I was talking about. And that's the same thing that Jesus teaches us in Mark 11, 23 and 24. But the way I was doing, I was adding to it by including everybody that you could get to believe with you and have the same image in their mind to work this same prayer out. And if we do the same thing with, let's say we have a person that is broke their arm yesterday in a motorcycle accident or whatever. Motorcycle accident. All right, everybody, look, just put it in your brain. This guy's healed. He's no longer has healed. He's just going to be rejoicing and praising God because he is healed. Guess what's going to happen? That's going to happen. And what I was trying to do was make it understood that when we all come together like this, come here expecting. Come here excited and encouraged that God's going to do something out of this, but because we are believers. And a believer is someone that prays and believes that he's going to get his prayers answered. And the exponential power of God is going to be in operation, I guarantee. that's the encouragement that I wanted to bring out in everybody here, that you don't have to. You don't have to be non-vocal in your prayers. You just speak it out. See it in your mind. It's already done. See it in your mind. It's already done. Lord, I thank you that Blake Samples is delivered and set free, and he's coming into the kingdom. I thank you, Lord, that the enemy has been broken. His power has been broken over him. And I thank you, Father, he's already come into the kingdom. Y'all believe that with me? That's my grandson. And I thank you, Father, that Blake is healed, delivered, and set free from the attacks of the enemy. And I thank you, Father, you're gonna make him that mighty man of God that you showed me when he was no more than 6 or 7 years old. And I praise you for it, Father. Y'all believe that? I can see him in my mind preaching to thousands right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Blake. That's what I'm talking about. And if you got a prayer request, we can, every one of us here, believe with you and watch what happened. God is going to answer. He's going to say, look at this little old group of people down there. Glory to God. Man, let's send them angels down there to help them. That's what you do when you go to praying and believing. You send the angels to start helping. They just multiply. They multiply because they're going out and they're doing whatever it is that you pray. And that's what I'm trying to encourage you to do. Come into the fellowship believing that what you pray is going to be answered, because you got all these people in here. We're not going to be writing notes. We're not going to be doing anything but just believing with you, glory to God. We're going to focus in on that prayer. And that prayer is going to get answered because God's listening. And don't be scared and put God in a box and say, well, I don't know if he can do that or not. I'm going to tell you something. You don't think God can do anything? He made you, for goodness sake. If he made you, you can be broke and he can fix you. I guarantee you. Quickly. Very quickly. And if you got a messed up mind, he can fix it. That quick. I thank you, Lord, that I have complete recall memory right now in Jesus' name. Y'all believe with me? Thank you, Lord. It's done. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody want recall memory? Oh, amen.
Me too.
Getting it too. Lord, we thank you for recall memory for everybody here that believe. I believe for Ben. I believe for Anna. I believe for Julie. I believe for Pat. I believe for Andrew, Missy, Joe, Monroe, George, Cheryl, Lana, Benita, Barbara, Josie, Tennille, and Terry. Glory to God. And everybody here, I thank you, Father, that it is done. We have complete recall memory. That when we read something, it's filed, and we can reach and grab it and bring it right back in Jesus' name. Does anybody not believe that? Raise your hand. Oh, don't do that. Praise God. I believe it. That's done. It's done. It is done. And you can bet that it's done because we prayed the prayer of faith and we, every one of us, believe it. Now don't back up and say, I don't know if that's true or not. It make no difference what you say. It's what we say. I believe it. You believe it, Julie? Amen. You believe it, Pat? You believe it, Andrew? Amen. Missy? Anna? Benjamin? George does, Monroe does, Joe does, Lana does, Cheryl does, Vanita does, Barbara does, Josie does, Sunil does, and Terry does. And if that's what we've got, then bless God. And I'll tell you something else. Anybody want to pray for your family that might be in harm's way here in the next little bit? Well, speak up and pray it. We'll believe with you. We're going to just imagine in our mind that the Lord's going to pick them up and move them in a place of safety.
Okay, I'm going. I've been looking at fault lines lately. And over near where my family lives, there's one that's called Rampaho, and there's all these other little fault lines or whatever that goes in the eastern side of Pennsylvania or whatever area into Jersey. I don't think that's a very good place to be. I'm not sure how far it comes over towards my family, but you know, when that East Coast that goes from New York down to the Gulf, that's going to set all these fault lines off. And
okay, just go ahead and pray. We'll believe we.
Lord, I thank you, Lord, for taking my family to safety, that they will believe and know that of the things that are about to happen, and they will repent of their sins, and they will be saved, and they will want to be in a safe place, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for getting them to safety, however that looks, Lord, in Jesus' name. I praise you and I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all of our families.
Amen. Let's do this, Missy. Let's break the power of doubt and unbelief off of everybody that we're going to pray for tonight. Right now, in the name of Jesus, you are broken, and they're going to be able to listen to the Lord. And I praise you, Father, for doing that, because we know it's already done because we pray. All right, Missy, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just had to do that right quick.
No, I'm done, I think. You know, I'm just
okay.
You know, when I pray that, I just believe that for everybody's family.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Anna.
I'll pray for my family, too. I got some over there in the Tacoma, Seattle area, which, as everyone knows, is a death trap coming up. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that your hand is over my family, Lord. That, Lord, I guess it really doesn't matter if they, as long as they just get saved. Lord, if you need to take them out and spare them the tribulation, as long as they're saved, that's okay. But I thank you, Father, that they are not going anywhere until they get saved, Lord. I pray that you have mercy on them, on my uncle, my grandmother, my great aunt, and my cousins. And also, Lord, I've got a ton of family over there in South Central Washington where Hanford is. I think they said it's the most contaminated nuke plant in the U.S. And, Lord, that's just a terrible place to be. A bunch of them died of cancer and thyroid problems already. But Lord, if that thing goes, it's not going to be good. And I pray, Father, that you have mercy on my family there and spare them. And Lord, even that some of them would walk in faith and truth, Lord, and be living testimonies when everyone around them is dying and they're not, because they have you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for bringing back to their remembrance the things that have been spoken to them over the years about these things that are coming and about the Lord, and that they would turn to you, Lord, with all their heart. And I thank you, Father, for household salvation. I thank you, Lord, that you are such a merciful, loving God, that you give us this awesome, awesome promise of household salvation. And I receive it. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I believe it with it too. Every one of them is going to be saved and brought out of harm's way. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you. Just see them being translated out of there. Lord of God, thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Got to pray. This is a great time to pray. Yeah, Barbara.
I'd like to pray for my sister, Debbie. She's down in Florida and near Tampa area. And I just sent her David's transcript that he did on Sunday and, you know, kind of was talking with her about it. And I'm not sure where she's at, but I'm just going to lift her up. Father, I pray for mercy for my sister. And I pray more than anything, Father, that she would be saved, that, you know, I would like to bind up that religious spirit she has. And I pray, Lord, she gets saved, that you would draw her to you in a mighty way, Lord. And she would come to the knowledge of the truth and believe it. And I come against all doubt and unbelief. And the things that I've been saying to her, she's going back and forth. She's questioning. But Lord, you know where she's at. And I pray, Lord, if it's your will for her to come up here, because I've been asking her to come up here and in PA here. And, well, Lord, if it's your will, I pray that it just be done. And I thank you, Father, for your mercy and grace on her, Lord, for saving her and for sparing her. And I just thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in all of our families and saving them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I just saw you and her, your sister praising God together. Together. Praise God. It's done. Thank you, Jesus.
Wow. Praise God. Thank you, Father.
All right, Cheryl. Thank you, Barbara.
Well, I've been praying and seeking the Lord on where I should go. And I just pray that the Lord will put it in my heart to guide me to where I should be. And I'm praying for my family. They're kind of reluctant to listen to me. And so they think the things that I say is kind of outrageous, but I'm praying that, for their salvation and just like his another sister said, or that, no matter how they get into heaven, I just pray for their salvation. And, I'm just praying that, for safety and, because we're not very far from the coast here. So I'm praying for all my loved ones and my friends and family to be put in safety.
Amen. I believe with you, Cheryl. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to place Cheryl where it's safe. And I thank you for it, Father, whether you have to translate her or not. And I thank you for doing that, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that household salvation, we all have that guaranteed to it. All we have to do is pray and believe. And I thank you, Father, that that's what we do. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Woo! Cheryl, you might even be coming up here, girl.
I want to be with the family. And I want to be, I've always, like I heard you say the other day, that many years ago, I prayed before I even came to the to UBM that I wanted to see Christ coming in the clouds, that I wanted to be here to help. You know, in the end time. So it's been kind of amazing what God has put in my heart years ago, and now it's coming into being.
Amen. Amen. You just keep on believing, girl. Amen. By the way, I saw Jesus last night in the fellowship, and so did Debbie. Debbie did also. She mentioned it first. I didn't want to say anything, but I saw him sneak in. Don't get me wrong. He wasn't sneaking in. He come in. He came in and just milling around. And, she said she saw him standing right in front of her. And I said, that's awesome. Cause he came in just as soon as the, like he did the last time, as soon as the praise and worship started. Yeah. Anna, and you know something? It's amazing. He's wearing that white robe with the blue sash on it last night also. And anyway, go ahead, Anna.
Let's agree together for the salvation of my brother Blake.
Okay.
I've had a third dream now that he died in a vehicle related accident. So like I said before, you know, it doesn't, you know, as long as he gets saved, but I would like to see it. And if he gets saved, maybe the Lord would even take that away. But in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just rebuke all the spirits that are over my brother Blake in the name of Jesus. Yep. I rebuke you, spirit of laziness, spiritual laziness, apathy, intellectualism, fornication, and just being lackadaisical about that. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I command that the angels to give favor toward you and toward what is right, just like you said, Lord, to send the favor angels, and we do it. And I thank you, Father, for giving him favor towards what is right and favor toward his girlfriend, if that is his wife, Lord, that he would have favor and want to do this for her, Lord, because this is what she wants. She wants to be right. She wants to be married. And, Lord, I pray that if this is his wife, that he makes it right, and if not, that you separate them quickly. But in the name of Jesus, I just rebuke everything that is hindering him from coming to salvation. Just the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, the vainglory of life, Lord, his dreams. He's young and he's making good money now and he's on his adventure. And, Lord, I just pray that you just show him the the worthlessness of it all, Lord. It's all empty at the end of the day without you. And I thank you, Father, for bringing him to salvation even now, Lord. Thank you, Father, for saving Blake. And he will not die unsaved. I thank you, Father, that we just forbid the enemy to take him out without him having a full salvation in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for doing it. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And we rebuke those spirits that of the dream. We thank you, Father, that Blake is not only going to be a powerful man of God, we thank you, Father, that he's going to be an evangelist for the Lord. And we praise you, Paul. We declare and decree it right now. Blake, you're coming into the kingdom in a mighty way. And I thank you, Lord, that when you bring him in, Lord, that the spirits would be showing favor to you with him, Lord, all the time, and that he was saying the word of God and understand it immediately. And I praise you, Father, because in these days we're in right now, you're growing up young men quickly, very quickly. And I praise you for doing that for Blake also, Lord. Not only that, Lord, that he would be a powerful influence over the lost people's lives when he goes out and gives his testimony and preaches the word. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Can y'all see Blake out there? He's a great big old boy.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And he's going to be preaching the word and people are going to listen. And he's going to bring a lot of people in. Thank you, Father. No, that's right. Blake shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Glory to God. Yes. Amen. I believe it. And I'll tell you what, I believe that's going to happen to two Blakes. And my Blake and her Blake both. In Jesus' name. He ain't about the big boy as her Blake is, but he got a big mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, he's full grown. Boy, it. Yeah. Amen, Ben. Amen, me too. All right, Julie.
I'm not sure if this is the Lord, but this is what was coming to me, Anna. It's like our vehicles represent it represents us and, you know, and how we travel or whatever. And I just, what the Lord showed me about vehicle and having a vehicle or not having a vehicle or what that represents is self-will and independence and rebellion and self-righteousness and that kind of thing. So we just bind up all those spirits that are operating in Blake and all of our family members that are, they think they're doing what they want and going where they want in the name of Jesus. And we forbid them to be operating through Blake and our family members. And I thank you, Lord, for giving them the grace to repent, to humble themselves, and to follow, that they are followers of Christ, and they're not their own boss, they're not their own leader. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing that for Blake. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Both Blake.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Go ahead, Missy.
I just want to pray for Merle and Alex. I just praise you and I thank you, Lord, that the angels are going and ministering to Merle and Alex, and they're both going to be repentant and both Alex will want to come along down to Tennessee, that he will want to come with us to safety. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that for my family, too, that they will want to go to Tennessee also. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. I believe it with you. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them, her whole family into the kingdom. Not only that, Lord, in a mighty way, in a Jesus fruit-bearing way. And we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah, that's a big old boy. He's full grown. He's about as big as you are, Andrew. Only weighs a lot more. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to read this again. Y'all going to have to listen. All right. The reason I'm reading it again is to keep it up in the forefront of us all the time. This is the word that Debbie got the other night. Remember, I've already said it once, but I'm gonna read it again. This is Habakkuk 4:19-24. Hear the word of your Lord. Now, if the time to stop thinking about yourself, a mind on self is a worldly mind. Put it far from you. This is the time to have your mind focused on what I am doing and how I am going to do it and how I will use you and move through you. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, who emptied himself and became obedient to his Father. He was not obedient to his own inclinations. Bingo. He had none of his own inclination. He was totally yielded to every thought and way of his Father. Now, you must be yielded to only me and my way of thinking. My way is love. My way is also judgment. And my way is mercy. Think on these things. Come before me ready to let me speak to you the things on my heart, that you will intercede from a heart ready to fulfill my will in this time. I have given you authority to bind and loose. Let this mind be in you. Listen to me. I have an agenda. I want to speak to each heart and mind who wants to line up with what I'm doing. Warfare. Listen, warfare. Do warfare. As you are taking in my words, you will know how to pray. And you will know what I precisely want you to warfare against. Do you see this thing I have called you to? Are you getting it? It's nothing about yourself or of yourself. It is my will. You are in my army. You are called to be soldiers. You are called to set yourself apart from the things of this world. Repent. Change your mind. Change your thinking. Renew your mind with the things that make for peace through prayer, which is my will for you to do each day. See that? Which is my will for you to do each day. There's only peace in that. There's no striving. Are you going to give yourself up to what I have need of you for? There's only peace in giving up. And there is a work that needs to be done. Wars for souls that need to be won. Appeal to freedom. My thoughts for your thoughts. My way for your ways. My desires for your desires. Let us build the kingdom together. I can't do it without, and no, he says, I can do it without you. But it would mean casting you aside. Oh, my people, how that thought breaks my heart. My people, hear the word of your Lord. Think on these things and act accordingly. And that's the end of that one. But David Timothy had an ending. I don't have it in front of me right now, but it's basically the same thing. It ain't about us, is it? It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Yeah, Missy.
I have David's if you want me to read it.
Yeah, read it slow.
Okay. He said, on the outreach, while Michael was reading Debbie's word from the Lord that she received on 4/19/24, I started hearing a voice, and he said, when you're free from self, that's when you have the calm in your storm. When you're free of self, that's when the sea splits so you can reach the other side. When you're free of self, only then can you love me and the ones around you. When you're free from self, that's when you will be able to enter my presence. Am I worthy enough for you to give yourselves up to be with me? You're muted, Michael.
I'm just praising God. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. So what God is saying, as you already know, it's not about Michael. It's not about Julie. It's not about Pat. It's not about any of us. It's about the Jesus in us. That's what he wants. He wants Jesus to grow and Michael to shut down. Now, I have a personality. Y'all have personality, your own personality. But it's Jesus speaking through that personality that's going to win souls. It's going to do the thing. Oh, Lord of God. It's going to do things that are going to be just out. It's just going to boggle people's mind. Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, when you were just saying that, it brought back, we've got some friends here right now, and my friend was talking about somebody she knows, and she said something. I can't even remember exactly what it was now, but it was like a curse, like she was saying something, a bad report about somebody. And I said, don't say this. You know, you shouldn't say that. That's like you're cursing them. And she said, I don't have that power, Vanita. It's just me. It's Suzanne, you know, her name. I don't have that kind of power. And I thought, well, yeah, I mean, the power is in the tongue, isn't it? I mean, that's the power is in the tongue. And what you say, your words mean something. She said, oh, I don't know. I can't curse anybody. Or I just don't have that kind of power. And I just kind of left it at that. But it was just, you know, it's like, it's not you. It's Christ in you. When you were baptized, I mean, when you believed, you're not, it's no longer you. And I mean, we used to go to church together, and I started in that church. And so I just can kind of see where she's still there. And I just praise the Lord that, you know, we've been able to step out from that and be called out from that. And I just wanted to pray for her.
Okay.
And she's in Alabama right on those lines also. So lots of prayers going out to her. Lord, just, you're going to do a great work and open her eyes and show her the truth of, you know, not what the son of seminary teaches, but what you teach in your word. And they're just really praising the seminary, that they were taught in. And Lord, you're just going to break that and break all those curses. And we just bind up those curses that were sent out. We do not accept them. We have authority. You've given us authority. It's Christ in us that has the power, Lord. Yeah, we are nothing. It is you in us. And you have given us that authority. And thank you for those teachings, Lord, that tell us that teach us what the Bible says and what power we have. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, and I'm gonna pray a prayer, and I want y'all to, because you need to let me remind me something. In the name of Jesus right now, every word curse spoken against everybody here, whether it was from family members that are praying that you come into the truth, which you already have, or whatever. They don't believe that it's curses, but it is. And Father, I thank you. Casting all curses spoken against this fellowship in the name of Jesus down as null and void. And I bind that devil from speaking through him again in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. I bind him from cursing again in the name of Jesus. And I praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, for teaching these people that what they say matters. And if they're praying against you because they think your religion, your Christianity, or whatever it is that they think it is, and you are right with the Lord, we bind that too in Jesus' name and cast it down as null and void in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for doing that for all of my brothers and sisters here tonight, because we have the truth that we have, and we know it is the truth because the truth comes out of the Word of God, and we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Julie. Praise your holy name.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you, Lord. Please forgive them for what they say, because they don't realize what they're saying and the effect of their words. Father, we forgive them too, Lord. And Father, we lift up our brethren, your elect amongst our brothers and sisters who who are no longer in our fellowship, Lord, those of your elect, that have got caught up in deception and lies and pride and ego and spirits of offense, and we're disobedient to your word, and whatever that is, whatever their sins are, Lord, we break the power of Satan off of these individuals, Lord, and you know who they are. And we ask, God, that you would shine your light brightly where they are, that they may see where they are, that they may see where they are going if they continue in their path of destruction and rebellion, and their cursing and their rebellion, their anger and unforgiveness and all that that entails, Father, and that you would pour out your mercy and grace and grant them repentance. Give them the fear of the Lord again, Father, and restore them, save them. Grant them forgiveness, Lord, for their what they've done. Bring them back into fellowship with you, in true relationship with you, Lord, in a much humbler way. Lord, that they be better brothers and sisters in Christ, better servants of yours, Father. And we pray your mercy upon them, Lord, and that even now that you're working, you have been hearing our prayers, God. You've been hearing our prayers, and we thank you and praise you, Lord, that you're answering those prayers even today at this very moment, that the chains are falling off of them, the burdens are falling off of them, the blinds are coming off of their eyes, and they're able to see what they've done and repent and be got in godly sorrow, Lord, for their sin, and that you're working, Father, that you're working, and we believe you, God, to do this because you love them, because they truly do belong to you, and whatever they've had to go through, Lord, they are going to be a testimony of your grace in a profound way, and they're going to know and understand how close they were to losing their lives eternally, and they're going to have an amazing testimony to share with others. They're going to be an amazing witness for you, Lord, and they're going to understand grace more than any many, many, many other people, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the fear of the Lord and giving them grace to come back, Father, in the name of Jesus. Your timing is always perfect. Your timing is always right, Lord. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. I believe it. Y'all believe it. Praise God forevermore. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for sending out your angels right now to fulfill every prayer spoken right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because I know it's already been done. Yes, Andrew.
You know, there's some really interesting savor of the Lord. You know, that we spoke a bit about that tongue that can be sweet or bitter, a blessing or a cursing. You know, this is how the Spirit leads you in here. Leads you. The other tongue is dead now. You have the good tongue. And there's some really good teaching on this. Even if you just look at your concordance, and I wouldn't mind reading, if it's okay, some of the words here.
Of course, go ahead.
Concerning this, you know, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14. And you know, it's entitled from 12 down as the triumph in Christ. And we want this savor. I'm not saying savior, I'm saying savor. It's like flavor, okay? But it's a savor. What do you want to see with your eyes? You know, if the tongue is attached to it, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. But here, you know, in 14 you have, but thanks be unto God. And it's a progressive, if it's unto, who always leadeth us in triumph in Christ and maketh manifest through us the savor of his knowledge, which is a glory of God, this knowledge, in every place. For we are a sweet savor for Christ, unto God, in them that are saved and in them that perish. Of course, the one that perish has a different flavor or savor in his mouth. But we pray against these things too. And we want to watch our own mouths too. You see, they interact with each other. If you can smell really good, it'll help your ears. It even says that in another place. To the one, a savor from death unto death. Well, we don't want the death. We want the life. And we all know what it says in Romans chapter 8 about that. And to the other, a savor from life unto life. And who is sufficient in these things? For we are not as the many corrupting the word of God, but as of sincerity and as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And, you know, this savor, you know, it talks about the, in Luke, the salt. Luke chapter 14, if I may, 14 and 34, you know. This is the salt of the earth, but, you know, it tells you this savor that you're supposed to have. Salt, therefore, is good. But if even the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is fit for nothing. It is fit neither for land. And we don't want that in our land, you know, where your land is, nor for the dunghill. Men cast it out. And he that hath ears, let him hear. And he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, you don't taste with your ears the saltiness of things. So you can see really in these verses here how this spirit savor, it's really a spirit savor, you know. I really, you know, I don't know if people have time to do this, but you should take some time to have a look at Ephesians 5 and 2. And walk in love, even as Christ also loved us. Even as Christ also loved us and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, an odor of a sweet smell. Now when you look at all these things and you go to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, And you see all them body parts in there, okay? It says there's some really interesting stuff, you know, on how, for instance, 23 says, and those parts of the body which seem to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. So our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. So he is telling you to take your eye and your hearing, the taste that you have of that saltiness, and bring it to your ears also. We can't do that, but God knows how to do that. And that's a real interesting item there. And it talks about these body parts. We all have body parts. And if the ear shall say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, it is not, therefore, not of the body. And I think that's a question mark. And if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole hearing, where were the smelling? You know, it's just so exciting to have this savor, you know. Cross, you know, he talks about your feet here, you know. And the eye cannot, in 21 it says the, in 1 Corinthians, the eye cannot say to the hand. So now you got some feelings in your hand there. You know, we've all encountered this. I have no need of thee, you know. Or again, can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you? You know, we have a walk, a journey to go on, a pilgrimage, you know. And we know of these types and shadows and proverbs and figures and allegories and parables. But we should know that these are all our walk too, you know, a savor this walk now. Just think about it. Just imagine it. The savor the walk with Jesus' cross You know, the Dolorosa walk. Well, that's what you got too. But your cross is spiritual. There's a 1 Corinthians 12 and 21 here, which I just meant and said, read there. And again, the head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. Jesus had it in his head what he was supposed to do. All of these senses are attached to your mind and heart. So this savor is a real interesting thing. You know, in Romans, it says even something about it. It all came to me the other day when I did a study on this. I don't know why the Lord led me this way, but that's sometimes we get some interesting leading here. So, you know, just trying to. So we who are many are one body in Christ, several members, one of another. So, you know, it talks a lot about these members in that chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Jesus had a walk. We have a walk, you know. We have a taste in everything, you know. There's all of these to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Of course, all of these savors of our eyes, ears, nose, and mouth is holiness. And when we are in the presence of something that's not, we get that warning. When we get not just what it pops into our head from the bad guy trying to tempt us, our savor is there. And holy, well-pleasing unto God, our spiritual service, and be not fashioned according to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and well-pleasing and the perfect will of God. So there's a savor to that. There is a flavor to it. You know when it's wrong. It's so easy that even a child could tell you what is good and what is evil. For I say, through the grace given me to every man that is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think. So think as to think soberly, as God hath dealt to each a measure of faith. And of course, you know, it mentions these savers in very excellent ways. I just hope I gave you something there. You know, there's weep not for me, weep for yourselves and for your children. You know, there's a Luke 23:28. You know, he's telling them not to weep for him. They're sad, but what's he actually doing here? You know. In sorrow, they looked upon the Jesus Christ crosswalk. But what did Jesus say to them? You know, weep not for me, weep for yourselves and for your children. We need to pray to have this savor in us working. We have good examples of this, types and shadows throughout the whole New and Old Testament. And if we determine them right, you know, the savor always goes to that wonderful savor, because, you know, after chapter 12, he gets right into the love chapter 13. And it's just really cool the way it all fits together. So I wish I could read this all to you, but it would take too much time. Anyway,
you're talking about the love chapter?
Yeah, the love chapter comes right after chapter 12. There's that walk, yeah. You know, different body parts, the body members. You know, should I make myself, there's even like, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I'm not going to come under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats. But God will bring to naught both it and them. Because your body's not for fornication, it's for the Lord. And there's a lot of savory words in there. You can taste them. You know, I don't know if people have this idea, you know, but, you know, the French people, you know, you can watch them make their baguettes and they could crack them open and they sound good. They smell good. But likened to what Michael was saying about the Tower of Babel and look what they do, you know, they didn't have the right flavor or savor of the Lord. But even with this baking of bread, how it looks, how it smells, how it sounds, you break a piece, or you cut it with a, and you taste it. And all of them work together that this bread is going to be really good, especially if you're going to have some nice chunky soup with it or something. Anyway, there's a savor to butter. Butter's in the Bible. It's on your table. And I don't think he's talking about butter when he's mentioning that over there in Isaiah somewhere. And I don't think he's talking about wine that's in the fridge, and I think there's a lot of people who get that. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a rape. Take a glass, put it up. It's not going to say anything to you. So there's a savor to this wine. What does it do? We did a whole thing about the sheep and how the shepherds used to feed their little sheep little snorts of whiskey so they would warm up on the hillside there. I don't know if you remember that Keller book we read on the psalm. What was it? The psalm, of the shepherd. Psalm 23, I think it is. Anyway, there's a lot of savory things: wine, bread, honey, milk, water, herbs. Herbs is in 14 of Romans, and there's milk and butter and you're supposed to buy this stuff apparently without any money. So there's that verse somewhere too. So ask, command ye me. The Father wants to be commanded of you, and I just want to be that witness that has a good flavor for people. And through your interaction with people, that they're not really have the appetite or the palate for all of this savor, this flavor of Christ. So that's why you got to be weak to the weak and know how to give them what they can palate for where they are. But in these times, I think God's going to do something about heightening people's flavor for this word, flavor for the items, that lead you, guide you, these things are really attached to your heart and mind. It's attached to your walk. It's attached to your hand. What you do, Tabitha hands, she knew how to make good clothing and stuff. So, I pray that my brethren would really get attached to this in a way, and then that they would take what God has given to them, because they know these things, and to apply this savory stuff of the Lord that he gives to us. If it's a bad taste, it's wrong, and it's not really good to look at. You know how to do this in the grocery store, but do you know how to? You know how to do it with people. Of course you do. So praise God, and I pray the Lord lead us and guide us with this savor, so that we can understand even to why what's coming, to have the right savor in us as to why what's coming. What has been prophesied and told to us, and what has even come into your past? All this, this darkness, or the bad plate, the salt that has no flavor to it, and the bad taste in your mouth was so that you can understand that you're supposed to have a good taste in your hearts and your mind. And then your soul to bear the fruit, and to have strength in the savor that he gives you, to cherish it, to learn how to cherish this savor, to watch your kids. They like sweet things, and how to how to pull out your sword to come against the savior that's not right, you know, and be ready. In Jesus' name, I pray that, you know, to know how to pull out your sword, you have this armor on, and to have the right savior, to have the sweetness of our Lord in our nostrils and in our minds and hearts at all times. But you still have to study the bad stuff too, because it's in the Bible. The bitter is there, and sometimes you recognize the sweet from the bitter, and sometimes you recognize the sweet from the sweet. And of course, that's in chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. So that you have that witness within you constantly. And it's a struggle for all of us. I know that. I struggle with this a lot. You know, you don't have to really even go outside to be amongst the nasties. They come and visit you sometimes when you're just sitting in the room all alone. And you got to do some sword fighting. And because it's the wrong flavor. It's the wrong savor. It's the wrong smell. It's the wrong sight. It's the wrong hearing. It's the wrong feeling. You know, this feeling is attached to the smelling. And it'll help you that way. Because some people smell better. Some people feel better. And some people, you know, they know how to taste better. And the taste and seeing, you know that first. So I pray the Lord gives us this wonderful savor for us to have constantly with us. And in the times of trouble. In the times of tribulation. And you know, I need it in the times of tribulation and trouble. Everyone does. And that's what we ask our Father for. Help us, Father. Lead us, guide us, keep us, and help us all the time. Amen.
I thought I muted, but I must have muted myself. Where did you say that butter was in the scriptures? That's okay if you don't remember.
You're muted, Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew, yeah. You're talking to your wife.
5 and 20 has got some taste to it, bitter and sweet, and there's a wove there. So, and then in 7 and 8 and 9, you know, there's some butter. It talks about Jesus having the butter, you know, over there. And I think chapter 9, he gets butter and milk. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Praise God. Butter's good.
Butter's
I
good.
Like butter.
Butter on bread.
Yeah. Butter on biscuits is butter. Praise God. But, yeah. Real butter. Goat butter is good, too. I like that. Okay. Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. All right. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I was just, when I was listening to Andrew talk about the savor there, and then he flipped over to that verse about if the salt has lost its savor. I'm just trying to find.
One about being the salt of the earth, and it does collate with what you said, Pat, about the wisdom and stuff, because you know that wisdom, which is your light, is also attached to this savor too. Because we're children of light, not darkness. So, you know, there's the bitter and the sweet there. So it's a flavor and it's a scent. So,
I looked it up real quick, just kind of as I was questioning it. How does salt lose its savor? And there's a lot of it in this little article, but it says salt loses its taste. when it becomes impure, mixed with other ingredients, exposed to a humid environment, and not perceived by taste buds accurately. Moreover, the loss of salt savor is also associated with the loss of religious values by individuals due to the addition of impurities into their values from the earth. It's interesting that I went down below. It was talking about the scientific explanation of whatever, but it says the natural salts, I guess the natural salts of the earth, is talking about table salt, and which is, you know, somewhat manufactured, or they do something with it, etc. But it says natural salts are impossible to spoil, which means that the salts cannot lose their flavor or consistency for a long duration. Nowadays, different ingredients can be added to the natural salts to make them refined to acceptable. These ingredients, such as iodine, are used for enhancing the flavor or the activity of the anti-caking agents, whatever. Impure salts may also lose their flavor due to the presence of certain compounds, etc. It's just interesting that when you started this conversation in talking about the savors in 1 Corinthians. Well, I don't remember. You went through a lot of stuff there, Andrew, but I think it was in 1 Corinthians. Maybe I'm wrong. Was it in 1 Corinthians 12?
2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14. 14, 15, and 16.
Oh.
Yeah, and you know, it goes into, it's in many places. It's your body parts are talking about body parts that pick up the savor in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. So, you know, and then.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you were talking about that, I was trying to follow you, and I clicked on, but I actually clicked on 1 Corinthians 12. And interestingly enough, in the first part of that chapter, it starts out, well, it basically said, in verse 12 of chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body."
Yeah, exactly. And so, there's the Ephesians 4 and 4 to 4 and 6 with the seven ones in there. You know, one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling. And one God who is in all, through all, and over all. You know, so, you know, it's just really cool how this one body, it gives you more of that oomph of how you're supposed to let this body be taken over of what's there in the second chapter of Philippians, you know, how he emptied himself, you know, what was her name? She said it in her saying there. Michael read it today, you know, on how we're supposed to give up self and become more Christ-like, you know. I'm sure you're familiar with Philippians chapter 2 there and 3, you know. I'll just throw that one in. Anyway, it's you know, it's what we want, you know. It's safe. It was like there's very few words in my concordance that had to do with savor. and flavor, and also, and then you can see the body parts there, and then I immediately thought of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, and then the very next chapter is showing you how this, if you have this lack of love, you know, and then from the love it goes into chapter 14 that he wants you to prophesy correctly, which is an edification, and an edification has to have the proper savor to it too. So there's lots more to this: eyes that see and ears that hear, the nose that can smell and the mouth that can taste, because it's part of your mind. What you take in physically when you see that loaf of bread that you all want to eat is a spiritual concept, an allegory, if you can say that, or a parable for the real good stuff. And I don't think people understand that because they don't know that what they receive is Christ. And Christ has eyes and ears and nose and mouth too. You just have to have the same one. But if you only have a 30-watt light bulb in your eye, because that's what it says over here, the lamp of the body is the eye. This is in Matthew chapter 6 and 22. So again, it's this lamp, you know, and that lamp is in your temple. It's that menorah candle that we have all the different wisdoms and knowledge in there. So if that lamp is 30 watts, 60 watts, or 100 watts, they used to sell them that way here up in Canada in the hardware store. 100 watt light bulb, 60 watt, or 30 watt. 30 watt was for your closet because you didn't want to have a high electric bill. And then, you know, and then it shows you the fruit there. And of course, that's how much you shine. And of course, then there's the first Corinthians chapter 15, with the star, moon, and sun, glory. So that, you know, you there are different levels there. You know, you go up one step, you're at 30. And then there's an incline. I'm sure with construction, you know that the water has to run off the step. So you get to 59, but then you go up to the next landing, and then the next landing after that. So at 100-fold fruit, and that's the ultimate place to be. There's a landing lower than 30 too. So that's where the rest of the world is, and God draws people to get up on that first step. Up 30. That's how I envision it anyway. So praise God.
I better
be
Amen. Go ahead, Joe.
While Andrew was speaking about, oh, he's talking about a lot of things, but talking about that last chapter, what comes to me is in Luke chapter 14, verse 34. I'm going to read it twice, but there's a reason why I'm going to read it. Salt, therefore, is good, but even if salt that lost its savor, that was what Andrew was talking about. Therewith shall it be seasoned. Now, change the word salt into love and the word savor into God. Love, therefore, is good, but even if love that lost its God, therewith shall it be seasoned. That makes so much sense to me because love is obedience. It's not just love as an emotional thing, but love is obedience. And without love, you can do nothing. That's the big love chapter. If people don't understand or not let them understand the reason why in Afrikaans and in English, it's only one word, love. But if it should be like in Greek, over four words, that would be much better explained when we talk to somebody about love. Not just love as in senses and the understanding, it's emotional. That's all I want to talk. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. Glory to God. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful night. We praise you, Father, that we know that our prayers have been answered. Every one of them. But we all are believers. We thank you for it, Father. We praise you. We're going to be thanking you and praising you for it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. We praise you, Lord. It's done. In Jesus' name. Lord, be with us. Protect us. Give us a good night's sleep where it's available. And we also thank you, Lord, that if people are going out to work, that they'd have a great, wonderful time with you while they're doing it, Lord, because we want to do all things for your sake. We work for you. We do all the things in your sake, Lord, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for being with us tonight. Amen. Good night, y'all. Wait a minute. Don't do that, Michael.